Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go.
Hey girl, how you doing? My name is Charlie. Let's make love. I was wondering if I could take you out a good time. Oh, invite you to my house. Here is my number. Girl, you can call me. And don't forget it, eh? The name is Charlie.
welcome to the show, and thank you for listening in to the show. You're listening live to the 2013 Internet Radio Show, and I'm your host, Frank Williams. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show. Again, thank you guys for listening in to the show, and welcome to the show. Those that are listening via my show page online at Blog Talk Radio, welcome. And those that are listening via cell phone, welcome to the show. Again, thank you guys for listening in. I'm your host, Frank Williams. Now, our show today is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all your tax needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on Duty. Now, you can reach them at 770-732-0244. Again, that office number is 770-732-0244. Whether it's personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, or corporate accounting, the professionals at CPA on Duty can take care of all your needs and concerns. So give them a call today, 770-732-0244. Now, guys, I promote the show daily on Twitter and Facebook, and as well, of course, my show page on blogtalkradio.com. If you have a Twitter account, you can follow the show on Twitter at The Frank W Show. That's Twitter at The Frank W Show. You can also follow the show on Facebook. If you have a Facebook account, you can go into your Facebook account, go to the top of the page, and type in the search box there. Type in The Frank Williams Show. Type in The Frank Williams Show. The show page should come up there. And voila, whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, or Blog Talk Radio, you'll never miss an episode of the show if you don't want to. Okay? So, again, thanks, guys, for listening in to the show. The call-in number is 818-301-5834. And so you guys can... listen in to the show via your cell phone. You don't have to be online. That's the beauty of internet radio, is you can listen on your cell phone or you can go online and listen to the show. Okay? I have a great show for you today. And if you're ready, we'll pretty much go ahead and get into the show. One other thing before I get into the show, tomorrow is Free Fall Friday. And you can call into the show and talk about any subject that you want. Call into the show and talk about any subject that you want. Then on Monday, we'll be at a new time on Monday. We'll be at 6:30 p.m. For the next 4 weeks. 6:30 p.m. for the next 4 weeks, Monday through Friday, starting on Monday. On Monday, I have a tremendous show set up for you guys, so don't miss out. All right, so 818-301-5834. The title of today's show, we're having, listen to this, guys. We have income tax and accounting professional and certified public accountant, Miss Laura Freeman Williams, on the show today. And think about this. When I start the show, I always talk about my sponsor, CPA on Duty. Well, she's the owner of CPA on Duty, and she's going to come in today and talk to you guys about income taxes. We're right up on the startup of tax season. So I appreciate this because she's very busy, and we're going to get right into it. So without further ado, let's bring in tax professional Laura Freeman Williams. Ms. Williams, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. I know you're busy. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come in and give a few tax tips and answer some questions. We really appreciate that. And at the same time, I kind of want to put you on the spot right now. The show would like for you to come in once a week for maybe the next couple of weeks and answer some pertinent tax questions as well as give some advice to our listeners. What do you think about that?
Well, Frank, actually, you're in luck with the delay of the e-filing season pushed back from January 22nd to January the 30th. I actually have a little more time in January than I normally have. So I would be honored to come on the show, and I just want to say Happy New Year to all your listeners, and I'm very pleased with your show. I plan to continue to sponsor you throughout this year. Looks like you had a great year last year and looking forward to good things this year. So we are proud to sponsor your show, and we'll definitely look forward to coming on a little bit more often, especially during tax season, to see if I can give some advice and help to your listeners.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and so we'll get right into it. Now, is there anything that you know, before I get into some questions that I've grabbed from some of the listeners, is there anything that you want to pretty much start off with telling the audience before we get into our questions?
Well, yes. One thing is maybe some of your the wage earners, people who receive W-2s and paychecks, you might have noticed that your first check may have been a little shorter than normal. And actually, what happened is the Social Security tax, it was lowered 2% with the Job Creations Bill that President Obama passed in 2012. It went from 6.2% down to 4.2%. And with the fiscal cliff negotiations, they did not renew that decrease. So they basically put the Social Security tax back to the regular rate of 6.2%. So that's a 2% difference in your pay, 2% less that you're going to receive, and it went back to Social Security taxes. So I'm sure, you know, people felt that. And, I mean, depending on how much you make, the tax base has gone up. For your six-figure listeners, you used to be able to stop paying Social Security tax after you made $110,000, where they've upped that to, like, 113.7 or something like that. So you're going to be paying more Social Security taxes on more of your income this year.
So what about the lower income earners, maybe $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 range? What's the deal there with them?
As far as what just happened recently, those people should not be affected. I mean, like I say, you're going to have a 2% less in your check because you're paying more in Social Security taxes. And if you have some investment income, there were some laws that came down related to the tax you're going to have to pay on capital gains and dividends and investment income. But otherwise, it's not going to be that much of a difference to you. Like I said, that 2% you're going to feel. But if you look back at your old checks before 2012, it'll be the same as it was like a year ago. So you had a break for a year. That break is gone, and now the Social Security rate is back up to 6.2%. But there's nothing special that was in, you know, it was a lot of talk about the fiscal cliff and all this, but they really didn't change a whole lot. They didn't give us, you know, any more credits. Some of you might remember that Making Work Pay credit we had a couple of years. They didn't bring that back. If you have kids in college, you're still going to be able to get your educational credits. The earned income credit is still out there. And the additional child tax credit is still out there. And if you have kids in high school, once they turn 17, you don't get that anymore. So that's like $1,000 in refundable credits that you won't receive anymore. So that comes as a surprise to a lot of people because they say, you know, my child is still in school, but the additional child tax credit, which is $1,000 per child, they have to be under the age of 17. So you might want to prepare for that as well.
All right. So, in other words, what you're saying is that people that's earning $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, they aren't. You're saying that they aren't going to see much of a change in their pay with the Social Security increase, or you're saying they are going to see?
They will. They will receive. They will see a 2% decrease in their take-home pay, basically, because of the increase in the Social Security taxes. That affected everyone.
Okay. Now, the first question from my listener is, let's see, when you're divorced, do you have to, you know, okay, say for instance, you're married and you're filing head of household, and then you get divorced and y'all are no longer living together. You know, she's got her place to live, he's got his place to live. Can each one of them file head of household, or how does that work?
First of all, a point of clarification, if they are married, they are not allowed to file head of household in the first place. You have to file either merit filing jointly or merit filing separately. So that first point of clarification. And again, I have to give my disclaimer, anything that I say on the show or any advice, I'm speaking in generality. So you should look at your individual situation and consult, you know, your tax advisor or give the office a call for a personal consultation. But in addressing your question, once they get divorced, the only way they could file head of household is if they have some dependent children living in the house. You have to have some dependents to live in the house to claim head of household. Otherwise, if they get divorced, they will just file single. You know, that's their only other option is single if they don't have any kids to claim. The head of household stipulates that you have to have a dependent child in the house that you're taking care of.
Okay. So you have to have kids living with you in order to file head of household.
Correct. And if they're in college, right, they still consider living with you as long as they're your dependent. You have to have what they call dependent children. So it's, you know, there's a definition for dependent in the tax laws, and there's a definition for children. For example, if you have a parent that you take care of, they are considered a dependent. You can file head of household. So dependent is really the key, and I should clarify children. If you are a working parent and you have a 40-year-old child living in your house, you are allowed to claim head of household because they are your child. You can't take their personal exemption, but you can claim head of household because that is still your child living in your house, regardless of their age. Okay.
All right. The next question, can you deduct mileage to and from work? How does that work if you live you know, so far from work and you drive back and forth each day? At what point can you deduct your mileage?
There is no point that you can deduct mileage if you are it's called commuting. If you are leaving your home to drive to work, it's considered commuting. and you cannot deduct mileage for commuting. If you had multiple jobs that you went to in one day, you could deduct the mileage between the two jobs. However, regardless of how far you drive, it's your choice to take that job. If you moved from where you live to get closer to work and your move was over 50 miles, then you could take what they call moving expenses, but there is no deduction for mileage when you're going to and from your regular everyday job that you have decided to go to.
That's bogus. But here's the next question.
Take it up with the Internal Revenue Code and Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah. Who? Next question is, if you're using child care, who can claim the child care credit after a divorce? You know how guys are paying child support or whatever, and maybe even helping out on child care. Can they split child care credit, or who takes the child care credit? He or her, or how does that work? Child care credit after
whichever
a divorce.
Whichever parent is claiming the child takes the child care credit. You can't take a child care credit if you don't have a child that you're claiming on your tax return. In addition, the child has to be age 13 or younger, and that parent has to work. So if you file in a tax return and the parent was unemployed, and even if they did pay for child care, they cannot take the child care credit, because in the eyes of the code, you were home so you can take care of your own child. So the person who claims the child on their tax return is eligible for the credit, but that person has to work, because the credit is for you being able to go out and have gainful employment and someone take care of your child. So if you get unemployment, or if you did not work, even if you did pay for child care, it won't be deductible on your return. And another addition to that, a lot of people forget about after-school programs. That is eligible for the child care credit. So if your child attends an after-school program, and the schools are really bad about giving the information as well, the parent needs to request a statement from the school to get the amount paid and the tax ID number and address so that they can take that credit.
Okay. Now, one other question, and this is pretty much my question. What do you find each year? I know you've been doing taxes a long time, and this is a time of year when everyone starts to ask a lot of questions and want to know this and want to know that. What do you find each year, most of all, to be the number one mistake people make with filing their income taxes?
Recently, and I don't know if it's just because of the age of my clientele, but the biggest mistake I've been seeing lately is where parents have kids that are college age or have small part-time jobs, and they are allowing those kids to file their own taxes and claim themselves. That is a huge mistake. The kids can file their own taxes, but they cannot claim themselves as if they're independent. The parent needs to still claim that child for as long as possible and be able to take that dependency exemption, that personal exemption for them, as well as being able to take advantage of the educational credits that are out there. Because typically, even if the child worked, they would not have made enough money for the credits to help them. And the parent would not be able to claim the credit if they can't claim the child. So that's been a really big issue I've seen. Secondly, people don't know their proper filing status. You mentioned it in one of your earlier questions. You have married people, and true enough, the term head of household, you know, I'm the head of my household, that's fine, but in the Internal Revenue Code, it's a totally different definition. So people don't use the correct filing status, and when you don't use that correct filing status, you it affects other areas of the tax return. Thirdly, people are in a hurry to file, and this year, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue since you can't file that early, but they leave off income, and, you know, they will get a 1099 late or W-2 late and have to come in and do an amended tax return. And inevitably, especially if maybe they've received some credits or something and received a refund, that additional income is going to lower the credit or lower their refund, and then they're going to need to pay that money back. So that's always an issue. So I just, you know, caution people to try to report all of your income. If you work, say, you know, some type of job where you were paid cash, maybe you did some type of lawn care, some type of contract work, either you communicate, you know, with that employer to see if they're going to issue a 1099. But, I mean, legally you're supposed to report any income you receive. So you should cover your butt and go ahead and report it up front. I mean, people don't believe this, but if you were walking down the street and someone handed you a dollar, you should put that on line 21 of your income tax return under other income. All income you receive should be reported. So I guess those are the three biggest issues I see. It's number one, you know, people with college-age kids, allowing them to claim themselves instead of them claiming them. Number two, not using the proper filing status, you know, claiming head of household when you're really married. And three, you know, not reporting all of your income. And you get these notices from the IRS, they call underreporter notices. And I caution people to please read those notices, because in a lot of instances there are errors that have been made. So sometimes, for instance, last year I had a company that reported their 1099s twice on everybody. So, of course, those people only included the income once. But if they didn't read the notice and didn't address it, they started paying money back on this income that they never really received. It was due to an error, you know, from the company. So I caution people to not ignore those IRS letters. Don't be upset about them. Just open them and address them. They ask you if you agree, if you disagree. So just answer the letters and respond to them.
Okay. And we're about done with the show. Tell everyone real quick how they can get in touch with you.
My company is CPA on Duty. My office number is 770-732-0244. My website is cpaonduty.com. Please call the office. We would love to hear from you and help you with your tax situation this year.
Well, thank you, Laura, for being on the show. We're out of time, but that was very helpful to all my listeners, I'm sure. So thank you for being on the show, and we look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the show, and we're out of time. Talk to you on tomorrow, Free Fall Friday, 818-301-5834. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.